And the series that we're going to be looking at or starting today is what I've called cold love. Cold love. And I'm not quite sure what you're going to be thinking. I think it depends on your current mood. Some people might be thinking that, man, is Pastor talking about relationships today? I don't think I have time for that. I came for something Holy Ghost fire filled this morning. Actually, I'm talking about relationships, right? But I'm talking about our relationship with God this morning. So I'm going to be looking at three main sections this morning. But before I do that, I just want to look at a scripture here that will be the basis for the next three Sundays. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. And Jesus said this when he was coming to the end of his ministry on earth here. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, he said, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. So Jesus made a point here. He said something that will characterize the last day, something that's going to show that, look, we're approaching really treacherous times, is that the love of most will grow cold. Now, I've read this scripture a number of times, but over the past couple of days, a number of thoughts came to my mind. And the thought that came to my mind was that out of all the things that Jesus could have said would be one of the most dangerous things in the last day that could happen to a believer, he could have said, in the last days, there will be loads of people killing themselves. I think that's there somewhere. He could have said, in the last day, people will be, you know, he could have chosen anything. He could have said, in the last days, people will stop coming to church. He could have said, in the last days, people will dread coming together. He could have chosen anything. He could have said anything to characterize the treacherousness of the last day. But he said something that I found quite interesting. He said, the main characteristic is that the love of most will grow cold. And you're like, what's the big deal about that? Well, we'll be looking at that for the next three Sundays, and we will begin to see the big deal about what that means. Now, the first thing I want to mention here is this. The foundation of our relationship with God is based on love. It is based on love. And I understand that quite a bit from a very personal perspective. Now, I became born again in 1996. That's about 27 years ago. But before then, I had friends, my sisters were born again. They would ask me to come to church with them. And I'm like, man, you guys are joking. Just do what you need to do and leave me alone. Even while I was at uni, I wasn't born again then. I had a couple of friends and they would be like, you know, come to our fellowship, come to this. I was like, you know, guys, just do your bit. Let me do my bit. All this Christianity stuff, I mean, just, I'm not really with it. But one day I walked into a church after I had graduated. I was working in 1996, a church like this. And I was bored. I said to a friend of mine, look, I'm at home now. Every Sunday, I'm just sat on my bed doing nothing. Can you recommend a church? And I says, well, there's a church not too far from where you live. Just check them out. I said, okay, I'll just go so that I'm not just loafing on a Sunday morning. And I walked into this church and this preacher was preaching and he explained what it meant to be born again. He explained what Jesus did for us on the cross. And I had heard that message several times. But on this day, something was different. It was like my eyes opened and I understood what Jesus did for me. And that's how I became born again. And since then, I have been super excited. It got to the point that, I mean, in those days, any meeting they were having in church, whether it concerned me or not, I wanted to be there. I was like, what's happening in church tomorrow? Oh, we're just doing whatever. I'm there. What's happening there? Anything, church? I'm there. I was totally in love with God. I am still. I was totally, I mean, anything you want, anything that I felt God wanted me to do, I was super excited about it. Now, why am I saying this? Duty cannot get you to do what God wants you to do. And I'm going to relate this to marriage a bit in a minute. About 6 years ago, seven years ago, we lived in West London. And I was on a train going to work in the city of London. And then we were attending this church in London. And God whispered something in my ears. He said, what would you say if I asked you to do something else for me? Like, okay. All right, what does that mean? Then that evening I got to our church in London and our general overseer, Apostle Williams, looked at me and he said, Pastor Benson, follow me to my office. I said, man, I don't have anything for me here. I followed him to his office and he looked at me. You know that look? I'm like, God, what is happening here? And he began to tell me about Bristol. He said, well, this is what God told him about Bristol, about me, so on and so forth. And after he finished, I said, thank you very much, sir. I've heard. And I went home. I did not mention a single thing to anybody, not to my wife or anything. And in my mind, I was like, look, I mean, there's so many pastors in this church. Pick any one of them, go to Bristol. Leave me alone. Because at that point, man, I had like a really nice job in London. Our kids just got into really nice schools. And all that, I was like, man, I'm cool here in West London. But something happened to me. God didn't warn me and say, go or else. God just began to fan the love in my heart that I have for him. He began to fan that love. And at one point I said, okay. okay, God, this love thing is exploding in my heart. And we came to Bristol. And we're here. We sold our house in London. We told our kids sorry. The kids were excited. And we're in Bristol today. And someone was asking me, why would you quit your job, sell your house, move your to Bristol? Do you know anyone in Bristol? I said, man, I don't know anyone in Bristol, do you? Why would you do that? And the only answer I could give, I was like, man, it's not like God's going to pay me a salary here. It's not like, and things were rough. But I just said, look, I love God so much. I'm overwhelmed by it. And I'm still excited. I wake up in the morning sometimes and I look around me. Maybe things are not going right. Things are falling to pieces here. This person is whatever. The church thing is like, what are we going to do? And I'm like, man, you know one thing, right? I'm super excited. Why? Because I love God. I know what better still? He loves me too. He loves you as well, but I think he loves me more. Just kidding. So what am I saying here? What I'm saying is I have come to know by experience and by the word of God that the most valuable thing an individual can have is your love for God. And Jesus highlights that point in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12 to say, look, paraventure, you're not aware of the strategy of the devil or just the general strategy of life. The main weapon is going to be against the love that you have for Christ. Any other thing can happen and you can survive it. I'm telling you. Even if someone does something really bad, not that I'm recommending that, if the love of God is still in their heart, they can survive it. So Jesus said that in the last days, the love of many will grow cold. So that's the introduction. So the first thing is this: love is the foundation for our Christian walk. If you want your Christian walk to be interesting, exciting, then your love for Christ has to be there. Otherwise, you're going to get to a point, I'm not saying you, one will get to a point where, man, everything is so boring. Prayer meeting, oh, not again. Pastor Benson, text, sorry, I can't make the prayer meeting today. Send. Why? Because you're bored. Oh man, Sunday morning, oh my goodness, I'm gonna have a lie-in today, man. If you're feeling that way, right, we'll look at how you can get out of that. You know, right, one thing that I do is this. I'm really real with myself. A few days ago, I was just doing what I do normally, go run here, run there. And God just tugged my heart. And he said, Pastor B, how far? How far? I'm like, man, it's really far, man. It's been a while. I've just been rushing up and down. And God began to tug my heart that, look, I know you're doing all these things, but you need to calm down and spend more time with me. So I said, okay, no problem, Lord. This week that's coming. All those busy things that I do, I'm going to put them aside and I'm just going to spend that time with you. I said, okay, that's fine. So the first thing is that love for God is the basis of what will keep you and I excited and in the context of God. And if I look at Matthew chapter, still looking at the first thing, that love is the foundation, Matthew chapter 22, verse 35 to 37, it says, one of them, an expert of the law, tested him with this question, teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your might. So this guy comes up to Christ and he says, what's the greatest commandment? He didn't say the greatest commandment is, make sure you go to the ends of the world and preach the gospel, which he wants us to do. Do you understand? He didn't say, look. He said, look, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind. He now goes further, and in John chapter 21, verses 15 to 17, John chapter 21, verses 15 to 17, Jesus had just resurrected from the dead. And he came to Peter, the same Peter who had denied him three times. The same Peter who had said, Jesus, and before Jesus was crucified, anything that happens to you, I'm with you. I'm ready to die with you. I'll give up anything for you. And Jesus looked at him and said, no problem. But you're going to deny me anyway. He said, never, I can never deny you. And the Bible says that Peter denied Christ and he was so disappointed in himself. He probably felt, well, that's the end of the matter. Do you understand? Jesus now comes to him in John chapter 21, verse 15 to 17. Now, Jesus begins to talk to Peter. And to me, it's quite interesting what Jesus focuses on. Jesus then said, Peter, you need to be very careful. You know, you need to cool down and not be so self-confident. You need to be slightly more prayerful. You need to, you know, you need to really sit up. No. Jesus now begins to have the conversation with him. And he says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. I mean, this is quite an interesting conversation. What does this have to do with anything that Jesus wants this man to do? Why didn't he say, Peter, you need to be strong. Peter, you need to really sit up. Peter, you need to, you know. Why didn't he say all that? Because Jesus knew, and he knows, that all the things that we do for him is based on the premise of love. That's it. I've seen guys that love, maybe they're in love with a girl, and they would do things that, they'd be like, man, why are you doing this? Maybe, maybe under normal circumstances, you have a friend, and this friend maybe lives in fish ponds, and you're like, man, there's this girl I want you to meet. She lives in the city center. Well, I've met her, and I have to take the bus to go and see her. That's going to be like, that would take me about 10, 15 minutes. I'm not quite sure I want to do all that. And you're like, look, this girl, you know, meet her. You told me that you want to get married, don't you? Yeah, I'm introducing you to this really nice girl. And he's like, okay, yeah. And he doesn't do it. Then this same guy that they're asking to take the bus 15 minutes to the city center now meets this girl who lives in, you guys pick any country outside of England. Guatemala, let's pick Guatemala. And this guy has to buy a plane ticket and do like a 3-hour drive through the jungle to meet this girl where she lives. And he meets this girl. And every month he's like, man, his salary, he takes the salary and is like, they're asking him, oh, you guys give me the name of any guy, you know, but not in this church. We'll take a fictitious name, John. I like that name, John. John, what's happening? We haven't seen you. It's like, man, guys, I found someone that I love. Oh, does she live in the city center? Says, no, she lives in Guatemala. How are you going to, you know, isn't that long distance, you know? Says, it doesn't matter. By the way, I'm off to Guatemala tomorrow. And you're wondering, how come? I was just trying to get you to see this girl in the city center. This one is Guatemala, and you're spending your whole salary every month going there. And like, man, I don't care. Even if I have to skip my meals for 1 week to be able to purchase the plane ticket, I'm going to see this girl. So, what am I saying? Jesus knows that if you and I love him, job done. So he focused on that with regards to Peter, because he knew that, look, if we can just keep our love alive for Christ, job done. Job done. So that's why he focused on that with Peter. He didn't tell Peter, do this, do that. No, he understood that if this Peter guy can just keep his love alive for me, that's it. We're told about how Peter was crucified upside down. History tells us that they wanted to crucify him like Christ. And he said, no, don't crucify me like Christ. Do me upside down. And you had guys, people who were ready to die. They would say, renounce your faith or we'll kill you, we'll skin you alive. And these guys were like, yeah, go ahead. Why did they do that? Do you think they did that out of duty? Do you think they did it because it was like, man, I just need to be in church this morning, otherwise, pastor's gonna text me, man. Oh, man. Do you think they did it out of duty? No. Duty is good. We should be disciplined in what we do. Do what we need to do. But I can guarantee you that duty will come to an end one day and it won't take anyone that far. But what will take you that far? The love of Christ. So, we'll look at two other sections this morning. So the question now is this. If love for Christ, how does it become cold? How does it gradually ebb away? I'll look at three things this morning, and they're things that are so casual, things that are so subtle that you might not even notice. I'll look at three things this morning. So the first thing is this: how does love become cold? The first thing is not doing anything to keep that love going. I'll call it neglect. Neglect. So this is what I call autopilot relationship. It doesn't work. Someone was telling me, I was having a conversation, and they said, the rate of divorce is skyrocketing, even amongst Christians, by statistics. And they're like, why is this happening? And I said, well, I think in my experience, from a lot of people that I've spoken with as a pastor, not everyone, the things that people divorce on, for me sometimes, I can't even get my head around it. I mean, I'm not talking about things like abuse or adultery. It's just like, well, I don't love this guy anymore. What did he do? I just don't love the guy. Did he beat you? Ah, no, this guy is too good. He can never do that to me. Okay. Did he cheat on you? This guy. No. I just... So I'm like, how did this happen? I remind them that I remember when you brought this girl to me 20 years ago, and you were so excited that, oh, I found this girl. Oh, and the girl was so excited. And 20 years later, I was there when, what has happened to you guys? They couldn't put a finger on it. But it starts by what I call neglect, where one just takes it for granted that, well, whatever, my love for Christ will autopilot itself. Well, I have news for you. It doesn't autopilot itself, by the way. You have to make an effort. You have to make an effort to say, okay, I'm going to, spend time with God. It takes effort. You have to invest something in it. Do you understand? You have to invest something in it. Otherwise, it just becomes cold. And in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, Paul the Apostle, he says, not that I have already obtained or I have already arrived, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. So the Apostle Paul was saying, look, even though I know Christ, I know God, I know the Bible, I'm still not going to rest on my oars. I'm going to be passionate about seeking God. I'm going to be passionate about knowing God, but I'm not just going to relax and say, well, I've read the Bible three times, so I'm cool. He said, no, I will press on. So neglect. If we're not intentional about our relationship with God, and we're like, well, I'll just turn up on a Sunday, hear what pastor has to say, well, whatever, that's really not going to cut it. Now, the second thing I think happens that makes our love grow cold is not really prioritizing our relationship with God. Not really prioritizing our relationship with God. What do I mean by that? You see, there's so many things that we can be doing, legitimate things. Life is so loaded with, my to-do list. I think if I looked at my to-do list, I have at least 100 things outstanding to do. My daughter is smiling. Serious. At any point in time, if I've really worked hard, I have at least 50 things that I ought to do. All very important. And there are times I'm like, I'm going to do an all-nighter. I'm not going to sleep tonight. I'm going to make sure I cover my to-do list. And by the time I've done that for 2-3 days, something like, man, this thing never ends. And I would just say, you know what, God? Please, let me just finish this thing, then I will spend more time with you tomorrow. Day one. And what am I doing? Oh, I'm doing church videos. I'm editing the church flyer. I love all these things, by the way. So it's not like I'm doing anything outside of the context of the church. I mean, I'm editing, I'm doing these YouTube videos. By the way, you know. I said, God, you know I'm doing this video thing. I'm trying to do this flyer thing. I'm trying to do this thing. And I don't really prioritize that time. And what happens? You just begin to lose that connection. So we need to prioritize. We're not just going to keep in step with him. The third thing I think that happens when our love, that causes our love to grow cold, is excuses. Excuses. You know, one thing I've learned is this. If you are going to give excuses for your relationship with God, it's really not going to work too well. What do I mean by that? I think we need to come to the place where we own up. So instead of saying, man, God, I'm just so busy. You know, I had to do this. You know, I had to, you know, set this thing up for church and all that. That's why I haven't really been able to spend time. Really? 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 That's not true. Because if you do not own up and say, God, you know what, God, man, I was like really tired. And I'm sorry, you know, please just help me. I'm like overwhelmed with work. I don't know what to do. You need to really help me to sort myself out. Then God can help you. Then God can help you. It's just like a husband and a wife. I think I learned this quite a long time ago. I remember with my late wife, I have this study at home. I call it the room of no return. When I go into that study of mine, I lose track of day and night. I have big screen there. My guitar is there. Everything is in that study. So when I enter there, it's like, bye, everybody. And I remember then that my late wife would be like, you're not spending time with me. I mean, this study that you're in and all that, you might as well just live in there. I'd be like, I'd be like, you know, I'm busy and all these things and all that. Then, you know, when it's like really bad, she will ring our general overseer, Apostle. And Apostle will call me, Pastor Benson, where are you? I'm like, goodness, I'm in my study. And I'm doing video call. You're in your study. Okay. Get up from that, your chair now. And go to the room. I'm going to kiss your wife. I'm waiting now. Go there now. Don't drop the phone. I say, okay, Dad. I've been reported. So I'll leave the study. I'm like, all right. I'm sorry. But I understood that, look, if this relationship is going to work, then I need to stop giving excuses and say, you know what, sweetheart, I'm overwhelmed with work, but I will make that time. So we begin to see that from a how does love become cold perspective, one, not doing anything, not putting the energy in that's required, not prioritizing our time with God has been really important. I'm making excuses instead of just owning up to God and say, God, man, I need help. Do you understand? Now, the last thing I want to look at, then after that, we'll pray in the next 10 or so minutes. I was now like, okay, how, we've looked at the things that can cause our love to go grow cold. I'm now like, what are the symptoms? I'm talking like a doctor now. Is it symptoms or what are the symptoms? Why is everybody smiling? What are the symptoms that my love is growing cold? What are the things that when I begin to see these things, I'm like, hey, Pastor B, you need to take it easy. Three things that I'll mention this morning. Now, the first thing is this. If you can, and when I say you, I'm included in that you. If you can go a few days and not think about God at all, man, that's symptom number one. Symptom number one. I was watching this thing on YouTube last night. Was it last night? Two nights ago. This guy, they were talking about relationships and all that. And I was talking like this Christian blogger, well, podcaster guy. And he was talking to this woman and he was like, oh, why did you break up with your last fiance? No. Is it fiance? What happened? The one before you get married. Is it fiance? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's it. Why did you break up with your fiance? And she said something that I found quite interesting. She said, man, I just wasn't feeling it. Like, what do you mean by that? And she said something that made my ears prick. She said, I wasn't feeling it because I could go days and I would not even think about calling this guy. I would not even miss him at all. And she said, look, she just didn't think he was worth it. I said, man, that's a spirit. I don't know why people are smiling here. I could go days without even thinking about calling this guy. I said, really? Days. So when we get to the place where you look at your watch and like, oh, 7 days have passed. Who is this? Jesus. Oh. That's symptom number one. Symptom number two. When one gets to the point where one is now just going through the motions. Going through the motions. So what does that mean? Oh, man, I've made up my mind that I'm going to do my Bible study. When I wake up in the morning, I'm going to pray. I'll make sure, I do all these things. And you wake up in the morning and it's like you read it. Today I'm on, what are we reading today? Matthew 11. It's Matthew 11 today. This is Matthew 11. You read through it. I'm done. Oh man, I've done my Bible study for today. What did you read about? I don't remember, actually. But I read it. That's what counts. I read it. That's what counts. Or it's like we just turn up on church. I'm not saying you guys. I'm just saying. I was like, man, I'm just, not excited about anything. Just, well, whatever. And one is just going through the motions. That's symptom number two. And the last symptom, and we will pray, is when we begin to find other things than God. And we're not really excited about the things of God anymore. The Bible says something in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. It says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So these symptoms that I'm saying, they're not to bash us or to tell us that, look, this is where you are. But it's really for us to reflect and be honest with ourselves. I'm honest with myself. So if you find that you're in a place where, look, God is not really interesting to you anymore. You're not quite excited. Bible study, oh my goodness, not another one. You don't even think about God. Or you're like, man, I'm just going to check this out. Church on a Sunday, or Arsenal on a Sunday morning. Let me weigh which one. By the way, if you're an Arsenal fan here, I'm not taking it personal with you. Or what, you know, let me, you know, I like, text Pastor Benson. Oh, Pastor Benson, I'm just sorry, I can't make it to church this morning. And the next thing, you're on the bus, the group bus, going to Wembley, and you're shouting, Arsenal, on a Sunday morning. And you're the person who is supposed to be the bass player. You text, bros, please take that bass thing for me. Now, am I saying you shouldn't be an Arsenal fan or anything like that? I'm not saying that. But what I'm just saying is that if you begin to find that you are more excited about other things rather than God at the times that you have set for Him, then maybe your love might be going cold. But having said all these things, if anyone is experiencing this, because I've experienced this a few times, it's not a problem at all. In fact, if you can identify this and you can be honest with yourself, I think it's job done for you. Job done for you because you realize that, look, my love's going cold and I need to do something about it. Rather than you're not even aware at all. You understand? So what am I saying this morning? If you're feeling like that, or if you felt like that, or if you will feel like that in the future, no problem at all. Because God doesn't just tell us these things to make us feel sorry for ourselves. I'm like, oh, man, that Pastor Benson, I shouldn't have gone to that church this morning. Just, he has just made me like really, oh. No. I'm saying that because in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it tells us that the Holy Spirit sheds abroad the love of God in our heart. So there are times that you need the help of the Holy Spirit to revitalize that love. Sometimes it's something that you can, you might find difficult to do by yourself. And that's okay. That is totally okay. What's important is that we come to the point where we ask ourselves, what kind of Christian life do I want? What kind of, do I want one that is just barely going through the motions? Or do I want one that is passionate? Do you understand? But God's here. God's always available to help us. And God says we should come to Him. Sometimes we're so tired. Life has done so many things to you and I. We're tired. And that's okay. Sometimes we're even angry that, God, you didn't answer that prayer. I'm not coming. No problem. God's cool with that. God understands that. Peter denied Christ. He said, I'm not, you know, whatever. He felt so bad. And God said, that's not a problem. I can deal with that. As long as you make up your mind to get back on track with really loving me. So this morning, I'm going to ask that we rise and we'll just pray. So this morning, what we want to pray about really is we want to ask God to really help us. Because we can't really help ourselves. God is the one that can really help us. He's the one that can rekindle the love that might have been lost in your heart. So this morning, I just want us to take time out by ourselves. So this is a personal prayer for you. I'm going to pray as well. And the prayer I want to pray this morning is, God, help me to rekindle the love that you're talking about here. If you're tired, not a problem. Even if you're angry, not a problem. God is saying, I understand. But this morning, ask for the help of the Holy Spirit to rekindle the love that Jesus is talking about here. The love that will take you through life. The love that will make your Christian walk exciting and passionate. Not just lifeless. Do you understand what I mean? So just take a minute and we'll pray. Ask that God will help you, that He will rekindle the love in your heart. Our Father and our King, your word says in the book of John, what manner of love is it that you have for us, that we should be called children of God? Father, we thank you that it was because of love, as you said in John 3:16, that you sent Jesus to die for us. We know that love is the basis of our relationship with you. This morning, we're asking, rekindle the love, your love in our hearts. Let our relationship with you be one that is based on love. Let it not just be going through the motions. Let it not just be ticking the box. Let it be a relationship that is alive, one that we are excited to be in, one that we are excited about. Father, we ask this in the name of Jesus. Rekindle that love in our hearts.